Hey friend, it's been a couple weeks since I have posted an episode, but we are over the holidays and now I am back in the groove a little bit, I think, at least for today. Anyway, today's episode is probably going to intrigue you. Obey right away. Have you heard that? Specifically, have you heard that in the church? Have you heard that in your mama groups? Because I know I have. This is a big one. Well, about a year and a half ago, a sweet friend of mine came to me pretty upset. She had just been to a parenting retreat at her church, and the leader of the retreat told the group that it was up to these parents to get their children to learn how to obey right away so that they could train their children to hear from the Holy Spirit. Well, that sweet mama friend came to me and let me know she was a little concerned about that and wanted my thoughts on it. So we're going to circle back and we're going to go back to that. It was actually a Facebook Live that we did in the private Facebook community for A Heart for All students. Always feel free to join us there. And let's listen in. I talk all about scripture, the gospel, and how obeying right away, probably not what we're looking for as we raise our children. And if you're looking for more in-depth support, please sign up for the free 5-day devotional. In it, I walk you through executive functioning, God's design of the brain, behavior, and lies we mamas believe. And we take it right from scripture. Grab that. Sign up for it now. You can access that at www.aheartforallstudents.com. Friend, we're in this together.
Hey, friend. Welcome to A Heart for All Students podcast. My name is Lindsay LaVisca, and it's my honor to be with you each week to talk about how we can homeschool and parent our outside-the-box kids so that we can equip them with the tools and strategies that they need to thrive as exactly who God has intentionally designed them to be. If your child doesn't fit into the box of the world's expectations, this is the place for you. Together, one mama at a time, we can change the narrative for kids growing up with ADHD, ASD, or no acronym at all. Let's do this, mama. We're in it together.
I am excited because a sweet friend of ours in our group, she reached out to me a couple days ago, and she had mentioned to me that she went to a parenting class at her church, and she asked me very specifically about a specific comment that the teacher had said. Okay, so she says, "All right, friend, I have a quick question for you. We are taking a parenting class at church, and the speaker was talking about saying things once and then expecting obedience. The point was that we have to train our kids to hear and obey our voice in order for later down the road for them to transfer that to hear the Holy Spirit's voice in order to obey God's voice." I thought that was a really loaded and tough question because I know that there was a season when I believed it was my job to train my children to obey right away. The reality is I've come to realize that if I'm asking a child to obey right away, and if that's my number one goal in parenting, then I am in trouble. I went through this season where early in my parenting that I thought that that was the biblical thing to do, is to get my child to obey right away. But the problem is so much bigger than that. That's just not even reality. If I can't, as an adult woman of 41 years old, if I can't obey right away, then how in the world do I expect my child to be able to obey right away? We know and we've learned that our ability to self-regulate and to use these executive functioning skills aren't even developed until the third decade of life. I know that the heart behind it was not ugly. It was not meant to be ugly at all. I know that the heart behind it was, oh, we want our children to be able to hear the Holy Spirit's voice, which I don't know where in scripture it says that mom's job is to teach her child to obey immediately without thinking, without question. I don't know where it says that, where that transfers over to the Holy Spirit. I don't see that anywhere in scripture. In fact, I see in scripture everywhere the fact that Jesus came, lived the perfect life, died on the cross for my sins, that Jesus's finished work on the cross actually set us free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so I want to talk about the law of sin and death, but something really stuck out to me. The goal is for our children to know Jesus. The goal is for our children, ultimately, what's our goal? Our goal is for our children to be healthy, well-adjusted, purpose-driven adults who love God and love people, okay? They're only going to be children for
a short period of time that they are going to be under our charge. So our goal is long-term adulthood. And if I am training my child to believe that they have no voice, that nothing that they think is of value, and that they have to immediately obey at all times. And I'm not saying that they should not obey. Scripture is very clear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We know that. And in Exodus. Now, granted, Exodus was pre-Christ. Old Testament scripture is this beautiful story of God continually going back to his people, giving them the rules, okay, obey right away, and over and over and over again, God's people, his holy people, the one who have been chosen and loved and set apart, those people, even though they say and they know all the scriptures and they know the rules, they cannot fulfill them. Therefore, that is why God had this beautiful plan to send us Christ to live that perfect life for us and take the penalty for that sin so we could live in freedom, covered by Christ. We are free from the law of sin and death. We cannot obey right away. If we could obey right away, why do we need Christ? Why do we need Jesus? We cannot obey right away. Now, does that mean we don't teach our children obedience? Of course we teach our children obedience. Of course we do. But we always have to think, what is the goal? And so I believe that obey right away, while the heart behind it I know is good, the problem with having that as our primary focus in parenting is that if that's our primary focus, that my child is a robot, doesn't use his brain, and doesn't obey right away, and has to rely only on my voice to tell him what is right and wrong. Yes, we want him to learn from us what is right and wrong. But if that's the goal, then the problem is we see oftentimes moms and dads becoming so exasperated and frustrated because their children, who are not cognitively ready to override with that whole executive functioning area, to override those desires, those children are immature. They are not able to obey right away. We can't obey right away. So if that happens and a mom believes, and I was one of those moms that believed I was supposed to have my children obey right away. And I, by the grace of God, am so grateful that God stopped me through my son and the hell and the humiliation and of my son's behavior to break me completely and realize that I cannot treat my children as if they do not have thoughts and do not have feelings, and that my reaction, because I used to get hard on my kids, absolutely not, no ma'am. And it was this was condemnation. The way I was approaching them was through condemnation. Now, I'm sure that this teacher wasn't saying that we are to be harsh and yell at our children, but that's what happens when our parenting is driven by obedience first. That's what happens. We, in our humanity, if we forget that our ultimate goal and our ultimate job is to have relationship with our children and to come alongside them and to share God's love with them and God's grace with them when they do not obey, okay, because they're not always going to obey. The problem is if we are harsh and firm. So again, the problem is when we make that our number one goal, because we have a culture that makes obedience and silence and acquiescing the primary goal. And that's like the sign of a good kid, the sign of obedient child. This sweet friend of mine said, well, some kids, they just obey. They obey right away. They do obey. But I would say this, if they are obeying right away, yes, they might be acquiescing out of fear, which would be the same type of response from the amygdala. They would just be acquiescing, but they're not thinking. What happens is they don't feel like they have a voice. So there's not a lot of dialogue that happens between the parents. And again, I'm not saying this happens all the time, but I'm saying our primary goal must be relationship in order to influence our children long term. If I want my child to know the love of Christ, and to ultimately know the depth of her own sin and her depth of her own brokenness, okay, which I am flooded with it, then I have to be real with my child and I have to have relationship be first. Who is my perfect example? Who is the one that teaches us that relationship is first? Jesus, God himself, who laid out the law, laid out the rules. He himself sent his son to have relationship with us while we were totally messing up all the time. He came to give us relationship first. Children, especially our children that struggle with executive functioning issues, if we only come at them with this traditional mindset, this behavior happens, this is the consequence. If you disobey and don't do what I say, this is the consequence. Those children, that is not going to work for their long-term success. We want to set them up for a life of success. We want to set them up to know that God loves them despite their behavior. Yes, the ultimate goal of our relationship with God is, well, there's so many ultimate goals, but one of them is our sanctification. If you're not a new believer, sanctification is just us growing and changing and desiring the things of God. But that only happens through relationship. God's saying, you must obey right away. He shows us all throughout Old Testament scripture that that doesn't work. That is not relationship based. Jesus said, you know, follow my commands. And in the book of John, he says, follow my commands. And then he goes just a little bit later, like a few verses later, he says, my command is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, we are to love, love, love. Then he goes to the apostles or, you know, all his disciples after he has risen. And he says to Peter and he says to all of them, go and love my people, love, love, love. But if my child is only hearing, no, sir, you must obey right away. You need to go into your room. You screwed up again. Even if you don't say the words, you screwed up again. That is what they internalize. And I know because I have messed up with my kids. And I see with my oldest daughter how I need to remind her constantly of God's grace. I need to remind her constantly of my mistakes and that I can't obey right away, so that she needs to give herself grace, because I, as her parent, my husband and I, we are the first kind of role of parent that they see, that she sees. And in the beginning, I was really harsh. Lord, I want her to hear the love of God. I want her to be wooed by the Holy Spirit. God's love. He doesn't, yes, there's conviction, but that is once there is relationship. So I just want to encourage you, relationship, relationship, relationship first. And that even, you know, as I've been talking all about this traditional, I talk a lot about like traditional parenting, and I say it coming from me because I was so the traditional mindset. You do this, this is your consequence. And then out of my own self-righteousness and misguided direction, you know, misguidedness, I was harsh with my tone and I could justify it. I was like, well, she should have obeyed. But the reality is I am just as much of a train wreck, and she should have obeyed, and being hard on her and go to your room until you know how to obey, that doesn't work. That doesn't show the love and grace of Christ. Do we believe that he died for all of our sins? Yes, because we're never going to get it right. The freedom that he died for is this freedom of being able to live in the fact that I'm going to screw up daily, but I am no longer under condemnation. That I should have the expectation that I am going to screw up daily. And before, and you know, when my instinct is to get hard on myself and then feel bad about myself, what happens? I'm ineffective for God. I'm ineffective for my children. There is no fruit coming from condemnation. Conviction, yes. Okay, yes, I screwed up. I need to work on that. But I want my children to know that they can always, 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 always go to God and know that God has no expectation of them to be perfect. We live in a world that tells our kids and tells us all that we're supposed to be perfect. That is not reality. Perfect obedience doesn't happen. We are growing, growing, growing as we develop our relationship with God. We are growing, growing, growing in our own obedience. We start to see now in our children, when our children melt down, we can start to see in ourselves, oh, I do that all the time. Now I'm just so much more open with my kids about, I totally screwed up. That's why you need Jesus. You can't rely only on mommy. You can't rely only on daddy. I have to be real about my own brokenness. So while I don't think, and I think he might have gone to like train up a child in the way they should go. And yes, we do want to train up the children in the way they should go. And the other one about like spare the rod, spoil the child. Well, first of all, I mean, even some of the most conservative, and I would definitely consider myself a conservative Christian woman, but even some of the most conservative Christian men, because a lot of our teaching historically has come from men, and that's not a bad thing necessarily, but even a lot of them will say that a lot of translations that spare the rod doesn't have to do with physical abuse. It has to do with this like rod of a shepherd guiding that person in. So focus on relationship, focus on relationship, focus on relationship. And I say, I mean, again, Romans 8 says there's no condemnation because through Christ we are free from the law of sin and death. And my interpretation, and I'll dig more deeply, and I do this in my course, is we are free from sin and death type of parenting. Sin is misbehavior. Death is punishment or a very, very painful consequence. Now, yes, there'll be natural consequences, but our goal is the heart. Because once we have our children's hearts, they are willing to listen and be influenced just the way God grabbed our hearts and now draws us in and changes us and grows us to be humble, and humble with our children. The reality is like kids in the church, they are leaving left and right. We all know the stats are terrible on once our kids get older and out of under our care. When they go out into the world, they are leaving the church big time. So maybe, just maybe, the way that we have been viewing this is not exactly setting them up for the long-term goal of a relationship with Christ. And I am not judging anybody. I am just doing the best I can and tell you what I am seeing in the scriptures and what I have seen in just being completely broken by my son.
Hey friend, are you exhausted and overwhelmed by your child's big emotions and meltdowns? Girl, I get it. For years, I struggled in complete desperation, brokenness, and isolation, navigating my son's volatile behavior. Nothing I knew to do as a good Christian mama worked with this kid. We lived in a cycle of shame, chaos, and confusion for years. But by God's mercy, he allowed me to learn so much in this season, and I can tell you now that we are in a completely different place. That's why I've created the free 5-day devotional video teaching series for the exhausted mama who knows deep down inside that there has to be a more peaceful and life-giving way to parent her outside-the-box child. Sign up for the devotional series at www.aheartforallstudents.com. Hey friend, guess what? You just finished an entire episode. Give yourself a pat on the back. In this season of parenting where we are barely surviving, every accomplishment is a victory. So take it. And while you're at it, if you found this episode to be helpful, please consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast episodes. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a thing. And if you're looking for more practical tools and encouragement as you homeschool and parent your outside-the-box child to thrive, go to www.aheartforallstudents.com. There are tons of resources, freebies, and lots of extra support over there. Don't miss anything. And don't do this thing alone. Friend, we're in it together, and together we can change the narrative for our neurodiverse, outside-the-box kids.